joined in that.
We ought to have made it work. You see, if we joined in with work when it started, we should have had a very different position.
As the Liberal Party always recommended.
Yes. Oh, yes. We did. But losing a standard worries me.
Yes. Well, I think it's worrying, particularly for internationalists, to see the way that we've misbehaved ourselves in Europe. I must say, in the last 10 years, I mean, pretty disgraceful, really. did the international alliance really exist between congresses?
Hardly. We kept the paper going, and we had board meetings once or twice a year. And a meeting that was not only board meeting, but a meeting with as many presidents or their representatives. So there was slight contact going all through. And then one or two countries, I don't think it was really more than, I'm not sure. I think England, France, and Germany had social international women's clubs, which were in not a really official contact with us, but worked with us and let us know when our members came to London. Like the Friendship Committee we still have going, we're supposed to be told when our members are coming to London and then try and fix up a meeting for them all.
But supposing something happens, supposing some emergency happened, or say, if you like, Hitler invaded the Rhineland or whatever it might be, how do you take action between congresses? I mean, have you got a powerful executive committee? Or did you have a...
Well, yes, what we call the board meeting, and the board meeting would meet as far as it could.
Mm. But the trouble is, you had very little power, really.
Oh, no power.
Because it's a federal structure entirely, isn't it?
Yes. We should have no power. You see, when the First War broke out, the affiliate in this country was very active in trying to get au pair girls and governesses back into their own country, you see. And, of course, some of them were enemy aliens, and it was quite a work to get them sent back. We weren't so stupid as we were in the Second War.
But I'm just trying to see what... Would you say that the influence of the alliance is really in two ways? One, what you do in the country where the Congress is held.
Yes.
That is how you help the government there. Yes. And secondly, bringing together leading women from a number of countries and boosting their morale, really. And those are the two things...
Yes, that really were the only two things we could do.
So they were
the organizing. You see, when we had more money, we could send members of the board to do an educational tour, say in the Near East. Send somebody to Egypt, or you know.
You could take up specific causes.
Yeah, and I think giving women a sense of solidarity. You couldn't, you see, foreign intervention is no good in Parliament. You can't really, beyond briefing the women as to how to present what they wanted, there's no way of influencing Parliament, is there?
No, you can't influence it directly.
Well, you content.
Although you lived with Atatürk, didn't you? That's rather exceptional, really. what about money? I mean, was it running down financially before the Second War? I mean, you had this money from the, Commission, Leslie Commission.
The Leslie Commission.
When that ran out, were you then running down?
We were running down because, you see, when the countries, after the First War, and when countries began to have the vote, there wasn't the same. They didn't give us as much money as naturally when we were a spearhead helping them in publicity and whatnot. So we've been very short of money ever since. And of course, the big donors like Mrs. Catt, which really was behind the Leslie Fund, and Madame Charouy of Egypt would give us quite a lot of money, £1,000, I think she gave us once, you see.
They all died out,
you see, and now women have got the vote. They don't want that kind of help. And your objectives now, if you give money, you see, are so various, you can't give very much.
Because the same applies to Townsmen's Guilds, really. You had a lot of Carnegie money, didn't you, there? Carnegie Trust.
We had some, and we had, and just started, we had a government grant.
Did you really? Ministry of
Agriculture.
Did you really?
Oh, yes, we had quite a big, forgotten how much, but it was several hundred pounds, and the Department of Education gave us a grant.
I see. So, really, you've got a lot, I mean, the women's movement has quite a lot to grants.
Yes.
Endowments.
Yes.
Because there aren't very many in Britain anyway, are there? But, of course, you've got some from America and the International Alliance.
Yes.
That clears up all the things I wanted to ask you. The last question I wanted to ask you was about dovetailing with other women's international organisations. You postponed your conference, didn't you, in 1938, because you were intended to have one, and then the National Council of Women wanted to have
I think they wanted a 50-year celebration.
Yes,
there was some reason why they...
And you shifted yours.
So we shifted.
Were you conscious of the need to do that all the way along? I mean, did you try and cooperate with the National Council of Women?
Yes. You see, when we started, there was an understanding that the church was a friendly new creation. They had the right to send three delegates to our Congress, and we had the right to send three official delegates to their Congress. And that was to show that we were separate but friendly.
Yes.
It wasn't, and there had been a fight between us ever since. And I'm the only person alive now who can put it straight. The International Council stick to their view that we hived off and should join again. That it wasn't a hive off, it was the creation of an entirely independent organization with one specific aim and nothing else.
Is there a move now to reunite the two then?
Well, I think they would like it. The International Council.
Oh, okay.
I explored it several times when they made a move, but the International could work perfectly well together, but they will not work in the countries.
Why is that?
women are there.
Can I on now? Do you think it would have been a good thing if you'd gone into Parliament for women? Or would you have, what would you have done in Parliament if you got elected? Not a big question, I suppose.
Yes.
I'm sure you would have been very good in Parliament because you know how to manage.
Well, I think I'd have been good on procedure, that my father had been in the house, and I think I would have known how to gentle things through, talking to people.
Yes. Not actually so much what you said on the floor.
Not what I said on the floor. Mm. I think I could have helped behind the scenes. In committees. My father attended more committees than any other man while he was in the House. He was a very good committee member, and I think I'd have been a good committee member.
You would have been a powerful partnership, you and Eleanor Rathbone, really, wouldn't you? Because Eleanor was a very different type of person,
yes,
but equally necessary.
Yes.
And you could have been a powerful team.
Yes, I'd have loved to work with her. You see, Miss Streatey helped Lady Astor tremendously.
Did she really? I didn't
know. Oh, yes.
Did she really?
She was behind.
You mean that's Pippa Streatey? Which one?
No. I keep thinking of what? Not the Fawcett Society.
Yes.
Not.
Ray Streatey was
the backbone of Lady Astor's.
Was she really? How did she help then, Lady Astor?
Well, they kept Lady Astor on the rails.
Yes.
Because she was American and had no respect for parliamentary discipline or good manners. She never learned that you must not get between a man on his feet and the speaker. You see, I mean, simple, good manners.
Because one thing I remember Lady Stocks saying to me was that Lady Astor was really surprisingly good in that she learned from the women's organisations in the early years and really was quite sort of humble in her relationship.
Yes.
And helped them a lot by organising these social evenings.
Oh, yes, that was very good, you know. She brought people together who wouldn't have had a chance of meeting. And of course, she inspired people. She'd got great personality.
And how? I mean, just by her enthusiasm?
By her enthusiasm, yes.
But still, she was, I mean, really got to meet Hansard to see. She was a bit of a disaster in the House of Commons, or could be.
Manners were deplorable sometimes. I remember she'd invited a lot of us to a lunch and wasn't there when we arrived and breezed into the room and said, "Sorry to have kept all you queer people waiting."
And it's a sort of humour that doesn't quite come.
Yes, malaprop.
Yes, yes. Her husband was, I believe, a very good influence on her, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
He was, kept her on the rails a bit too.
Oh, yes, very much, I think, yes.
But you think Ray Streatey, provided her with information?
You see, political's common sense and experience. But mind you, I'm not sure that any other woman would have done what she did. You see, she had the worst House of Commons we've ever had.
I understand.
Hard-faced men who'd made fortunes in the war, for the most part, got in. And, of course, almost see as a spoiled South, coming from a southern state, as and with her wealth and brilliance, didn't care two hoots for them, you see. I mean, couldn't have cared less. So I don't think, I'm not sure that a more mousy woman, well-behaved, and Mrs. Winsingham was very good, but I think she and Lady Atherton were great friends.
Oh, yes. Well, they were both Christian scientists, weren't they?
Yes. And, but, you know, it was bravura of Lady Astor stood her in very good stead against the kind of house she had to address.
I imagine she was more useful to the women's movement in her early days than later on, was she? I mean, you must
Yes.
I imagine, I don't know, but didn't you just get into a huddle in the women's movement and say, oh, God, what's she done this for? Sort of thing later on.
Yes.
She did make some awful.
Oh, she made some awful. And of course, her primary, she was awfully good for women, on women's subjects. But I think she was, nearest to her heart were temperance.
Some sort of moral
reform, yes.
What sort of person was Rees Fagg? She's a person I don't know much about either.
I find it difficult to describe people, I think.
She was sort of behind the scenes, rather.
She was very good behind the scenes, extremely well informed, not with a kind of brilliant enthusiasm, but a really down-to-earth, steady grit and determination, which was quite invaluable.
One of those people who tend to get forgotten.
Yes, really, because they're more efficient behind the scenes and get things done, but not in a showy way.
In a sense, they would regard it as a failure if their name appeared anywhere. they're boosting somebody else.
Oh, they're boosting somebody else.
Because she wrote the best book.
I think it's the best book, don't you? Yes. I think
best
so.
Book, I think.
And a very nice person to meet. Very nice.
But there's also that rather good book, Our Freedom and Its Results. I don't know if you remember reading that, around about 1936. She edited, I think. And there's a super essay in there by Eleanor Ashburn about how to get things done.
Yes.
You know, how to get the political system moving.
Yes. Oh, yes.
She's a very clever woman there.
She was very, very talented.
But rather formidable to look at.
Yes, she was rather a big, handsome,
a stout woman. As you say in the North England.
Yes.
Is there anything else about Violante? I mean, there may be other things you'd like to say about it.
Well, there are two or three things which I was able to do. I was president of the Alliance, which gave me a status. Getting genocide accepted by the, can't have been the legal, accepted by the United Nations. It was when and the other thing, because I worked with Lady Littleton, and we stopped the sale of Muslim girls they were selling girls from Cyprus, Arab Cyprus, to Arab families in Palestine. So so the girls were sold into a family they didn't know, and without, of course, any possible consent, with no control over the age or character of their husband. And we managed to stop that through the, I think that was earlier, through the League of Nations.
Yes. But really, you feel that being president of the International Women's Suffrage Alliance would mean that people would listen to you more when you approached them directly on your own.
Oh, yes, you see, I could say that I represented the opinion of so many women in so many countries.
Yes, yes.
You see, which gave one a quite different access.
Gave you sort of entree.
To just being somebody on our own.
Yes.
One of the most interesting things I think I did was to get women police sent out to Cologne, where our occupation.
Oh, after the Second War.
Where the conditions were getting staggeringly bad and worrying both the German civilians over the girls. And our war office was getting really hit up because the figures of VD were rising. And so I found out by accident, going over to see my pre-war German colleagues, you see, and being appalled, and came home and saw them. I waited until I bamboozled an interview with the high-up. I wasn't going to be put off. And threatened the poor general that if he didn't do something about it, I'd put the churches and the women's organizations onto them. And that shook him. And he said, oh, would I go out and make an official report with recommendations? Well, I'm not as, I've never been more, except in a very small way, a social worker, you see. So I said, yes, I'd come out if I could take Commandant Ellen, who'd created the women police.
Oh, she was still alive then, was she? Because she was a suffragette, wasn't she, originally?
Yes, but she was doing social work amongst women and girls in London.
Yes. Yes.
And very soon spotted that if she had the prestige of a uniform and status, they could do a great deal more. And so she invented her title and invented her uniform, which was as near police as you can get away with. And we went out and we sent back our recommendations, which were adopted and were successful. Surprisingly successful.
And that's after the Second War?
That was after the Second War.
Yes. That's interesting.
But you see, I couldn't have done it really, I think,
on my own.
It was having this solid international backing.
Yes, that's an important point, really.
Yes. So when you ask, it really was the alarms that did it.
Yes, so
that most of them wouldn't have recognized me.
Yes, what did the Second War, and after the Second War, you went to Germany and really picked up all the old connections?
Yes, that was all. And I went to Czechoslovakia. I think I must have been, I think I was the last English person to see Benesch before his death.
Yes.
I had a terribly sad meeting with him.
So you really...
And then I went to Poland.
Yes. You really picked up the bits.
To pick up the bits.
Recreated the...
Yes, well, of course, it was impossible to do anything with Czechoslovakia and Poland because the Democratic Federation was the only women's organization allowed.
Did the Second War do a lot more damage to the alliance than the First War, do you think?
Yes, but then we were more vulnerable and much larger, you see.
In the Second War?
In the Second War. And
I mean, why were you more vulnerable, really? Just because there were more things to break
up? Well, you see, you had this terrible division between fascists, between communists.
Yes.
You see, one that destroyed fascism, more or less. But communism was a huge new giant. I went to the first meeting of the Democratic Federation of Women in Paris, and of course I was appalled. I went with an open mind because I thought, well, after a world-shaking war, was quite natural that you would need new organizations, so I went without any prejudice. But of course it was, it was communist.
Yes, I'm not quite au fait with the organization. It was a communist women's organization.
It was, it's the only one they allow in any country.
I see. It's the Democratic Federation of
Women.
I see. And it was formed, what, after 1917, was it?
Yes.
I see, yes, yes. And you were appalled because there was no freedom of discussion?
You see, there was no freedom of discussion. Mm. And they had real gangsters, I mean, ex-boxing toughs and that. And they would follow one down to the ladies' lavatory. I was watched from the moment I arrived.
You went as a delegate from the International Alliance?
I went as a observer from the International, really quite prepared, if it was a good feminist organization, to back it, because new centuries, new decades
require new... Yes,
yes. But it was terrible thing. And they wouldn't allow anybody to speak whom they hadn't got on their list. They tried to shut down an Indian woman. No luck. She stuck to it. She stood on her feet until they left.
Did you speak at all?
But I refused. I knew they'd use it if I spoke from their platform. They would have claimed that I agreed with them, you see. So I thought they were too dangerous.
So in a way, during the lifetime of the International Women's Suffrage Alliance, internationalism has declined.
Yes, very much.
I mean, it's like this, really, isn't it? I mean, it's rising after the First World War, and then really since then it's gone down.
Unless you count the new growth in our affiliations in Africa and Asia, where there's not communism, we're establishing more and more links.
Because one thing the International Alliance does, which didn't occur to me because it's obvious when we think of it, it must be advertising freedom of discussion, parliamentary procedure, in a sense liberal, but smaller ways of proceeding in many societies that don't have. I mean, so far as they allow you there at all.
Yes.
I mean, you must be advertising parliamentary methods.
And you see, now we're joining up with the Women's Rural International in running joint seminars. They talk about the practical farming, and we teach the women how to get what they want through Parliament, a kind of citizenship training.
Yes.
And work together very well.
Yes. So it's not just the boost you give to feminist organisations, it's the boost you give to
parliamentary democracy.
Yes. The world would be a pleasanter place, wouldn't it, if liberalism had succeeded in the 20th century instead of being, in many ways, rather on the losing side, in a way. I mean, in some ways.
Yes. It's
not just a capital L, but a smaller
L.
And things must have